Welcome to the School Resource Network. This is your school counselor, Lindsay Pinkelman, and I brought a resource that I've met this year in the Aleutians Eastboro School District. Her name is Jamie, and Jamie's going to tell us what she does and how she helps students both by distance and on site. But I wanted to let our listeners know that this will be my last show on the School Resource Network for this school year. I'm going to take a summer break, and I will be back in August educating about all the new things that are possibly going to happen in the school year. I'll bring on our new principals, both at King Cove and Sandpoint, and I'll just continue to educate happenings in the school district throughout the year. So I'm really excited that this opportunity exists, and it's another way that I can educate students and parents and the community about what school counselors do for students and how we are an essential part of their education. So welcome, Jamie, to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do and where you work and how you help the students of our school district.
Okay, so my name is Jamie Swazer. I work for Bristol Bay Campus as an academic and financial aid counselor, as well as working with the Aleutian Triple Off Islands Association as their youth and transition coordinator. So working with both companies has allowed me to collaborate our services and reach out to more of the Aleutian and Triple Off communities and introduce the various services to them that these two great organizations can bring to the students' lives, as well as anybody else that has ever wanted to go back to school. I try to involve myself in the job fairs, community fairs, student camps, and I do presentations on post-secondary education, testing opportunities like in AccuPlacer. I walk parents and students through FAFSA, and I touch bases with scholarships.
That's a lot of roles and knowledge that you have, and that's why, as a school counselor, we're educated to deliver services in academic, career, and social emotional learning. But what I do is I love to network because opportunities like you you're able to talk a lot more specific about each of those services that you deliver, because for a school counselor to keep up on all that can be a lot. And I also think it's important that students hear information from multiple sources, their teacher, networkers like you, the school counselor, the principal, because I think it just reinforces that, wow, it's like more than one person is saying the same information. It must be true, and maybe I should listen. So because you work for two communities and you have a wide variety of information, what types of opportunities do you specifically bring to the communities at Aleutians and Triple Off Islands?
So the collaboration.
You mentioned about the job fairs and AccuPlacer and all that, but within all that, what specific opportunities are there?
So between Bristol Bay Campus as a branch of UAF and then Aleutian Triple Off Islands Association, they collaborated together so we can offer, like, dual credits for the high school students, regular college credits for people that want to continue school or go back to school for their post-secondary education. They can do vocational training for people and students in rural communities. Like, if a community needs a certain, like, class or training, like in OSHA or HAZWOPR, we have the opportunity to hopefully come out there and offer that for them, either as a credit or a class, and try and keep their community and their people in the sustaining outlining areas.
So you mentioned the dual credit opportunities, and I know within our district that is something that we are interested in aligning for our students to be able to have those distance learning opportunities where they can receive dual credit. So that's something that is in the works over the summer so that hopefully we can implement in the fall. So maybe you and I will be working closer together for those opportunities. I know one of the things we in our district, we just class to 6 period a day and altered our credits to support that. And one of the things we're looking at is increasing the rigor and career and college-based courses, their senior year specifically, and dual credit provides that. So what that means is that students would take a potential online course in the area that they're interested in. It would be a college class, so their teacher would be more than likely a college professor, is that right?
Yes.
And then that teacher would basically deliver the class, and when the student passes the class, they could transfer their final grade back to their high school for a half credit. And normally in those situations, how many credits equals a half credit?
That I would have to double check.
Okay.
But well, they would normally get the credit for the high school, and then they would get their credit for college.
Yeah, and so normally in my knowledge, a 3-credit class would transfer back to the high school as a half credit. So I feel comfortable saying that, since in most situations, that's okay, that is the case, yeah. So it provides a great opportunity for students to already have college credit, going into their university of choice, because they could ask for an official transcript from UAF or UAA, wherever that agreement is, and then that would transfer to their university that they would be applying to in the fall. Now, I don't know if you know this question. It's something that I need to do a little bit of research on, but some schools limit the amount of transfer credits that come in the freshman year. Do you know anything about that?
That I have not heard yet.
Okay.
What we've focused on, like, in the Bristol Bay region, and we've touched bases, like, we started having some dual credit courses in Unalaska, I believe. And some of the students, if they start sophomore, if it's capable, sophomore, junior year, some of them are already halfway done with their associate's degree by the time they graduate.
Yeah, and that is what I've experienced, too, in my other districts. And so I know that Aleutians East and Mr. Mayor, Superintendent Mayor, is really supportive of creating these opportunities for students. And so that's why we had to look at, like, what's currently happening in our district and how can we align it to better provide an opportunity where students of Aleutians East Borough could come out with close to an associate's degree, if not at the least a certificate that would get them started in their career of choice. And so when you were talking about the opportunities, whether it was for high school graduates or students returning to school, can you talk a little bit about, if you're out there and you've already graduated and you're still trying to figure out what is it that you want to do, how can you support students returning to school post-graduation?
Well, a lot of the post-secondary education, like, I never knew what I was going to do right after high school. I had interest, just like many people do. And if you haven't made up your mind, you can dabble in different areas and you can do different certificates or occupational endorsements even.
That's excellent. So getting in contact with you would be a place that they could start?
Yeah, they could.
Perfect.
I've seen students go back after 10 years of not going to school and working on their occupational endorsements, like in carpentry or getting their OSHA certificate or their CPR, just a class that, that not only looks good for them on their resume if they're applying for jobs, but also helps them in their personal life too.
And that's sometimes all it takes, between you applying for position and not getting it and applying the next time and getting it, is just having the endorsement that you need, whether it's a CPR like you mentioned, or a CNA certificate for medical, or a CDL, or a fisheries certificate, or something in that area. Sometimes just having that is what sets you apart from another applicant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily going and getting a full degree sometimes. And often having a certificate or specialized training can be the difference in pay as well. So there's a lot of benefit to continuing education. Okay, so how have you helped, like, our students in the past at our schools? Can you give us an example, or do you have a student story of how maybe they were in a situation and they made contact with you, and how are you able to help?
Well, a lot of students that I worked with that I didn't work with before, it helps to travel out to the communities. Like, I've flown to multiple communities down the Aleutians, and I've made it out all the way to St. Paul. And I try and do their career fairs and do the presentations on post-secondary education. We usually have a FAFSA night, because sometimes FAFSA is very tedious and long. And so we volunteer at night to work with the parents and the students. We had, like, 22 kids and their parents, and walk them all through FAFSA in one night.
That is, like, an amazing...
They don't have any problems, and everything is done by the deadline. So they don't have to worry. They're already filed, and they're already done.
So let's talk about that for a second, because that is the difference between your student or your child or grandchild getting a grant and not getting a grant is just by the accuracy of filling out the FAFSA. Is that correct?
That is correct. And usually when they're doing a FAFSA and they can qualify for the Pell Grant, you can get to, like, $2,500 of a Pell Grant a semester, or even a little bit more.
Yeah, that's huge. That makes, like, well, we know any amount of money makes a difference, but that certainly makes a difference. But what I've noticed, too, is, like, okay, the accuracy of the FAFSA is really important. You are able to provide help with that. But once you get your FAFSA submitted and the federal government goes through it, they send you back a student aid report. And I find that a lot of students have a hard time interpreting that student aid report. And what is that an area that if they got back in touch with you that you could help them understand how to read that and know what their expected family contribution is? Because it's that number that the individual college will use in order to decide how much money in grants or loans that student's going to need to attend their school.
Yes, I can help them walk through that. Their SAR report, it's long. It's just a basic outline of every question that they answered on their FAFSA. And their contribution from the family is a portion. Like, sometimes it's large. It all depends on if you're doing it independently on yourself, or you have to use your parents' taxes because they go for prior years.
Oh, right, the prior. Like, students that are filling it out now, it was based on 2018, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So I know that the student aid report is out there for our current seniors that filled out the FAFSA. So if they don't understand how to read that, I know financial aid packages are starting to come out for students in their UA Online account or whatever university they're attending. All universities have some sort of student information system, much like our school district uses PowerSchool. And so all of those financial aid packages should be out if you applied earlier. And so if you need help interpreting those, definitely get in touch with me as your school counselor. Jamie is available. I can get you in touch with Jamie. She can give us her number at the end of the show. So it'll be an easy way just to contact. So you've mentioned you've been out to the schools, and I'm hoping that you and I can get together and find those dates for this coming year and figure out what it is that our students need and try to align a trip so you can fit all these awesome opportunities that you have into one or two-day events.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
Okay.
And another thing, Lindsay, just put on, when they do that, when they fill out their FAFSA, when they're complete with their FAFSA, it actually puts them in another pool for over 200-plus scholarships that they may not know that they qualify for, but it submits it into a certain area where they can, they see they may even get one.
Wow, I did not realize that. Just by filling it out.
Just by filling out the FAFSA. And then once you're, you pick the college of your choice, if you go that route, and in your student account, if you're looking underneath your student information, and most colleges have their own scholarships for their own area. So, and that's another one to fill out, too, because they're totally separate from the FAFSA.
Yeah, so I'm working with a student right now in our district, guiding her through all this, and that's exactly what she's finding out, is that by applying for their specific college's scholarships, and this is something that I just found out. So I always say February 14th is all about the love, and February 15th is all about the money, because February 15th is usually that deadline most colleges set for their specific scholarships, and it used to be the deadline sort of for filling out the FAFSA, but I think that's more lax now.
Yep, I believe they moved that up to October.
Yeah. So what I found out is this specific school I'm working with for this student actually allows students to fill out their college's specific scholarships past that February 15th deadline. So what happens at that school is they go ahead and they use all of the applications that were submitted, you know, as of February 15th, but often they have a lot of other scholarships that go unused, and so that's why they continue to allow students to fill out that application past that deadline. So you're not in the first pool, unfortunately, but you could still get an opportunity to earn a scholarship. In this specific student's situation, if this student fills out a scholarship and earns $1,000 or more in a scholarship, they will waive the out-of-state tuition cost. So it'll drop her down to only paying in-state tuition for the school she wants to attend. And that is, like, huge. And so I just always encourage students that stay in touch with your school, talk to your financial aid department, get help, you know, even if you need help logging in and finding your student number and PIN number and password. Like, if you are a go-getter and you want these opportunities, all you have to do is ask. And it's people like you that help connect these opportunities, too.
There's so many opportunities out there that all you have to do is fill out the paperwork. I mean, some of it is a little long, but if you write one college essay and then you specifically change it to different kinds of scholarships, I mean, it's just a little change here and a little change there that could pay your way for your tuition and your fees without putting in anything whatsoever. Alaska students have the best opportunities in the state of Alaska for going to school that is basically covered as long as they fill out their scholarships and work with their tribal
institutions. And that is something that I'm really passionate about helping, trying to connect, and it being my first year in the district, I had to learn a lot about how all these connections are working together and just trying to figure out Native corporations and tribal citizenship and how to use everybody to the best of their advantage for, you know, what you just said. So speaking about funding, do you have any scholarship opportunities available right now that students can still apply for?
Well, if they're seniors or if they're looking for vocational or they're looking for a higher ed award, Aleutia Pribilof Islands Association has a higher ed award that is due by June 15th for the fall college semester. And then we just had sent out some information that was passed on to us that APICTA has two scholarships that they just came out with for vocational training and for college undergraduate. And I think they only have a limited resource for like maybe 10 slots. So if we could spread the word about all those scholarships going out, it would give a greater opportunity for students to earn more money.
Yeah, and seniors, both at King Cove and Sandpoint, should have received that forwarded email from me with those two opportunities attached, one for college and then the other one for career/vocational. So if you're listening and you haven't checked your school email address lately, I highly suggest you do so. You can see that flyer, and if you need assistance, both myself and Jamie are available to help guide you towards the application and any questions you might have. So one last question. We touched on it a little bit with employment and training. How can postgraduates take advantage of employment opportunities through you?
So that would be working with the Aleutian Bluff Island Association. Depending on what region and community and the tribal affiliation that they're, there's multiple funding sources. With APIA, they have 13 regional Alaska Native corporations that have scholarships. Many of the tribes have scholarships, and in both Bristol Bay and Aleutian region, there are also many scholarships available. I've created a trifold for each region. So I think I have sent them to you, Lindsay, but I'm not sure. But we can pass those around, too. There's a trifold for the Bristol Bay region, and there's a trifold for the Aleutian Pribilof region.
Okay, so, yeah, I can pass that along to seniors. I'll check that Google Drive folder you and I have, or that you've dropped stuff in the past, I think. But I can look for that. If not, I'll ask you, and I'll send it out again.
And for employment, if they go on the APIA website, there's multiple programs that they could read through that they may qualify for that can help them with going back to school, employment and training. There's multiple opportunities.
So if you're sitting there in a situation of, I don't know what to do, call your school counselor, call Jamie. And Jamie, why don't you give us your contact information of where students can reach you?
So they can reach me. I mean, even if you're ever in Anchorage, stop by Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. I work out of their building in their ETR department. Or you can call their phone number at 907-276-2200.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate all the information that you have provided for our listeners. It is so much, and there's so much opportunity out there. And I know our students are slowly taking advantage of those. I know that the school board scholarship students applied for that. Students at Sandpoint applied for theirs. I've been working with students out in King Cove and Acatan. So the word is getting around, and I just hope going into next school year that we can just really kind of open the gates to all this funding opportunity that's available and get our students actively applying. So that's my goal going into next year for sure. But Jamie, thank you for your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I know we'll be in touch. And listeners, thank you for listening to the School Resource Network. I will be back in August, but this is my last show for the school year, so I just want to wish everybody a great summer, and we'll be back with more content in the fall.